everyone. My name is Belinda Granger, and I'm the professional liaison for Challenge Family. I'm also known throughout the triathlon world as being a bit of a mother hen to the pro athletes. Of course, given the current circumstances, I've been thinking about the athletes a lot lately. So we came up with the idea of Coffee Calls with Belinda, which basically gives me and you an opportunity to check in with them all and see how they're all going. So welcome to the official Challenge Family podcast. I think it's time for a coffee. Okay, welcome back to Coffee Calls with Belinda. I am here today with one of my absolute favourites. I've known her for a long, long time, since she was a little girl. She still is a little girl in my eyes. Welcome, Radka Carterfeld.
Hi, Belinda. So great to talk to you.
It's always great to talk to you. We were just, when we were online before I started recording, we were talking about how it's always so much fun because it gives me a chance to catch up, but it's also can be dangerous because you and I, we are legitimately good friends and often you can get caught up in just thinking that you're talking to friends. We're actually doing an official podcast, but lucky my podcasts are nice and casual, so you can say whatever you want. You know that, don't you, Rads?
Yes, yes. It's really dangerous to talk to you to realize that it's going to the whole world, not just to
not
you.
Not just me. Exactly. Oh, I love it. But Radka, look, I have known you. I was thinking about it now. I've known you since you were very, very young. I think we worked it out that you early 20s at least when I first met you. And I think I first met you at the Laguna Phuket Triathlon in Phuket, Thailand.
Yes.
And I remember you really were young. You'd been in the sport for a little while by then. How many years had you been in the sport when I actually first met you all those years ago?
Oh, yeah. When we met,
yes,
around the 2005, I think.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, in triathlon, I was then maybe just for 2 years.
Oh, so you
when had, I met you.
Okay, so you hadn't been in it that long.
No, not that long, but I actually thought I'm really experienced by then.
And so,
but it was my first like non-drafting race, was like new for me, and not sure. I think I was on a road bike. Well, which didn't matter. Laguna course is so hard. So
yes, yes, exactly.
It's good for road bike.
And of course,
yeah, but it still feels like it was not long time ago to me when I met you there.
No,
but well, when you think it's 15 years ago,
exactly.
It's
it is 15 years ago. So I've been going back to Laguna Phuket Tri for about 15 or 16 years now. So crazy to think. And I know you've been going back year after year, you too. You realized pretty quickly that it was a race that you wanted to get to the start line of every year. It was a pretty cool race.
It's an amazing race, and I'm jealous. You get every year, it's your birthday there, so you get a cake there as well.
Exactly.
And you know, it's the best place to celebrate your birthday.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm just praying that we get to go back this year. Obviously, the race is in November. The race actually falls on my birthday weekend. So my birthday is the 20th of November, and I turn 50, but don't tell anyone that. And I think the race is on the 22nd or 21st or 22nd of November. So I really hope that it does go ahead this year, but yeah, who knows? We'll have to wait and see, I think, on that one.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It would be amazing to celebrate your 50th, but don't worry, I won't tell anyone the age. It's just between me and you.
Just between the two of us. I like it. Thank you, Radka. You're a good friend, Radka. You're a good friend. Now, of course, all those years ago, Rads, you were doing a lot of ITU racing, like you said, a lot of draft legal. That was your focus, was Olympic distance racing. I don't think you'd even done any longer distance. I think Laguna Phuket was the longest distance you'd done when you came the first time.
Yes, but it's not that long distance. It's a 55K bike ride, is it? Or 60?
I think 55. Yeah, 55.
55, yeah. And it was my longest. Yeah, I remember I was thinking, wow, what should I eat during such a long ride? It was just, 15K longer than the Olympic distance. Yeah,
oh,
but then
crazy.
They stepped it up like a couple of years later. It was a 70.3 or half Ironman distance.
It was too, that's
right. And I was like so sad. I'm like, it's no way I can ever ride that far. And then my ex-coach was like in 2008 or, yeah, I think, when was the half distance there?
It was around then, maybe 8 to 10,
yeah,
2010, around that
just
time.
Yeah, he just convinced me to try it, and I remember I had so much food on the bike for me, and And I'm laughing when I think it's like a half distance race. It's, you know, you don't need much.
No, I mean, you're so, I mean, that's your forte now. Half distance is, you know, you're one of the world's best over that distance. So I'm sure you could get through a half now with hardly any food if you had to.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because I, for the first time in my racing career, I dropped my nutrition in Wanaka. Not everything, but I lost a gel. So I didn't have much there, and I still survived.
Bumpy New Zealand roads, you know?
Yeah.
They're bloody awful. Sorry for all the Kiwis out there, but your roads are atrocious.
No, it was actually good fun.
Yeah, of course, it is. Challenge Wanaka is one of the most beautiful races that I've ever had the pleasure of attending. And that's another race that I continue to go back to year after year because it really is unbelievable, and even more unbelievable this year, Rad, because it's looking likely that it's one of the only races that actually got to go ahead.
I know, and I'm really, really lucky that I got to race there because I would be now sitting here without any races done, and it was an amazing race, and I got a really nice coffee cup from there, and I'm actually drinking coffee out of it now.
Oh, that's so unreal.
It's a nice memory.
I've got that coffee cup too. It is pretty cool. No, it really is a terrific race. And, of course, Radka, just going back to Challenge Wanaka, obviously you won the race there earlier this year, which was a fantastic race. And then, obviously, the plan was to step up and do your very first full-distance race at Ironman New Zealand. Talk us through what happened. I know that you were sick. You didn't realise. I don't think you realised just how sick you were. So just talk us through so our listeners can know exactly what happened to you at Ironman New Zealand.
Yeah, it feels like ages ago, but I guess it's just two months ago. I was ready, and I was really excited to race my first full distance in a special place in New Zealand, Taupo. And we are parents.
Yep.
And we have Ruby in a daycare, and we've learned a big lesson because 1 week before the race, the daycare announced that they have a hand-foot-mouth disease in the kindy. And so I picked Ruby up, and she was not feeling well one afternoon. But we were like, oh, next day she was fine. And we were like really happy because we just wanted to go as a whole family to New Zealand. And she was fine. So we were like, good, lucky we didn't interfere anything with our plans. And one day before the race, I started feeling really weird.
Mm.
And then the race morning, I had blisters all over my hands.
Wow.
And feet. And we realized I have hand, foot, mouth, which I got from Ruby, which was really disappointing. But I didn't know how bad this disease can be.
No, how severe it could be. That's right. Exactly.
I still thought when I woke up, I'm like, oh, surely, I mean, it's going to be painful to hold the bars, but swim will be fine. And, and you know, with
typical athlete, I'll be fine, it'll be okay, it'll be all good.
And then I thought, you know, always the adrenaline, you don't feel pain, that will be fine. Oh my God. But I didn't think, you know, the disease, it's not just the blisters, it's in your body.
Yes.
And I had nothing in me. The swim was the hardest I've ever done. I swam like it would be an Olympic distance sprint in somewhere in Nusa Tri.
Mm.
I felt like, oh my God, these girls are smashing it. And I wasn't even at the front.
No.
And then the run to the transition area on the rough road, no shoes and the blisters. I just
would have hurt so much.
Oh, it was horrible. But the most painful was that I basically was disappointed in me and didn't want to disappoint my family and all my friends and sponsors, but it was nothing I could do.
No.
It was
out of your control.
It was hard to, out of the control. The only thing we can control with Brad, we were like, okay, next time we know, 2 weeks before a big race, Ruby's not going to kindy.
she's coming out. Take her out of kindy.
Sure enough, we came home from New Zealand and everything was upside down and everything is shutting down and we took Ruby out of kindy and she hasn't been there since because we just don't want to risk anything. And
getting sick, no. I understand. Oh, look, and I think the biggest thing too, Rads, is it was your very first go at the full distance. I think not only the expectations that you and Brad had, but I think the expectations that the rest of us had, because we were, I think we were all so excited to see how you were going to go, because I mean, I know personally that I couldn't wait because I know what a fierce competitor you are, what a fantastic athlete you are. So I was actually probably just as excited to see how you were going to go as you were. So it's tough. That's a really tough hand to be dealt at your very first one. And then, of course, now with the outbreak of Corona and all of us not knowing when the next race will be.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Straight after the race, we were like, well, we didn't know how.
Where's the next one?
Yeah, where's the next one? Like, Brad just like quickly signed me in for South Africa, and then, oh, if that doesn't work out, we can do Texas or this, and all these plans. But 1 week later, everything cancelled. So,
But speaking of it, and you're dead right. I mean, the disease you did have, it does affect your immune system. And I'm sure if you were able to take your heart rate that morning, and your temperature, you would have probably realized just what sort of a state you were in, and it certainly wasn't in a state to undertake an Ironman. But I mean, of course, we can look at that now. But on race day, I think you're just so focused on the job at hand and something that you trained for so many months that you're like, no, I refuse to let this get in the way. But you were saying to me you've only just really started to get over it, like completely over it. Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. It really took its toll. I felt really bad for a long time. And like you said, watching the heart rate, it actually helped me as well, because I had normally, you know, when I wake up, I have this Polar watch, and it monitors my sleep. And normally I have around 50, what is it, beat per minute?
Yep.
Heart rate overnight. And I was like 60, 59 and stuff like that for like 3 weeks.
Okay.
So it was completely out. So I felt like the whole day just want to sleep. And the other thing was in my head, I'm like, no, I got to push through it. It's just mentally or something. And I was like really strict at me until I talked to Dr. Kate, and she was like, oh my God, don't mess with it.
No.
This is serious, and like it could get bad. So
well,
then I listened and really took it easy.
Well, it can end up with a severe case of chronic fatigue. And of course, you're talking about Kate Gazzard, who is an absolute legend. She's helped many a professional triathlete up here on the Sunshine Coast. Can't say enough good. She's actually helped me quite a few times too. She's a wonderful doctor.
She's amazing, yeah. She helped me and Brad so many times. Yeah, she's great.
I think we've all got a Kate Gazzard, a Dr. Kate Gazzard story, which I think is very cool. Of course, Kate Gazzard's very good friends with Leander Cave. That's how I first met Kate, through Leander. So, wonderful.
Oh, nice.
Wonderful lady. Yeah. And smartest woman I know, I think.
And you know, she got onto Kate, you know, straight away. She just like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when she thinks you need a MRI, she just books you in, even if there's
around.
No place.
That's right. Yeah, well, because she's an athlete herself, and she understands that this is your profession and that you don't have weeks to spare, that you need something diagnosed now, and they need to get to the bottom of something now so that you can start working on recovery. And, yeah, I love that about her. And she's as I said, a lot of the athletes up here see Kate on a regular basis. Now,
because she's a sport doctor, she knows that we really want to do some training, but if she says don't do any,
I believe you're gonna listen to her. That's right. Yeah, that's right. You don't muck around with her.
If normal doctor says take it easy, you just keep training. You know, because it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. I think we're all guilty of that, Rads. Yeah. Oh, it's funny. Now, Rads, you are coached. So speaking of, you are coached by your husband, Mr. Brad Carterfeld, who himself
is
a phenomenal athlete. Of course, retired from triathlon now, but is still a very, very keen marathon runner. And, of course, his plans got thwarted this year as well. He had quite a few marathons that he was – and big marathons that he was going to try and do. And, of course, now he can't. So what's it like, first of all, for our listeners, what's it like being coached by your husband? And you can be honest here, Radka. And how is it all going?
I can be honest, he's just sitting behind me doing training programs for all the athletes. But
damn, I was hoping he wasn't in the room.
Actually, he doesn't hear your question, so I can talk whatever I want.
That's right, he won't know.
I have to say, it really works perfectly. I know it can be difficult in some... There's many husband, wife, coach, athlete combinations in the world, but... sometimes it works, sometimes not. And I think we are the lucky ones because it works perfectly for us.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that we have done it like we did it. And Brett is really good in wearing two hats. He's the strict coach and he's the husband when I need someone to talk to.
That's right, when you need a shoulder to cry on.
If sometimes I feel like he has the head coach too long on, I'll just have to... ask him.
Just give him a gentle reminder. Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's great. Yeah.
And then the good thing is now when we have Ruby, sometimes I just, take too long to get out for the training and play with her or do stuff with her and have excuses why not to go just yet. And he puts the coach hat on and says, just go.
Get out there and do it. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny because Ruby is 2 and 4 months now, and she just picks up his talking to me. And now when I say I'm going for a swim, she's just like, go, mommy, go.
Go now.
It's like,
so go. Your little assistant coach right there.
She is, yeah. And now when I come back, she's like, good ride, good swim. She's checking, the coach. It's so cute. Love it.
Oh, that's unreal. And I must admit, obviously in the environment that we're all living in right now where we are, all around the world, we're in different phases of lockdown. And of course, I use the term lockdown, fairly casually in Australia because we really aren't in a proper lockdown. Not when you compare us to, say, Italy or Spain or even New Zealand. We've been fairly lucky, particularly as athletes. I mean, okay, there are no pools open, but, where we live in Queensland, you're down on the Gold Coast, I'm up here on the Sunshine Coast. It's still 24, 25 degrees in the water. We're allowed to swim at the beaches. You're allowed to run where you like. You can ride where you like. So it's been quite easy, so to speak. However, motivation is tough, don't you still think? Because there are no races to focus on. So do you find that it's great having Brad there 24/7 to help provide that motivation when it gets a little low?
Yeah, definitely. The motivation is so important. Like, I think in everyone's life, the motivation is important, but for me particularly, I just, I have, a race scheduled every second week.
Yes, exactly.
And I live for it, yes. Because I train, then I love the taper and then I love the recovery and then I'm ready to go again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now having no date locked in, it's tough. So you have to have different goals and different challenges. So we go from day to day and I have different goals now. It was, a few weeks ago, the goal was the Easter bunny for Ruby. Now it's the potty training.
Yes,
now we're
yes.
growing cucumbers in the garden.
That's awesome. Nah. Yeah. I love it.
But I'm just so race motivated, but there is none. And you have to find something different and something else to look forward to. But like you mentioned, we are so lucky here because this is a lockdown, but it's almost like a training camp for the whole Australia because everyone who goes out has to exercise.
That's right.
Don't you think?
Yes. It feels like the whole of Australia. Every man, dog, woman, child is now in training for something. I don't know what, but they're in training.
Yeah. I just went... this morning for a swim, open water swim, and there's like a really old lady with a dress walking, but she has running shoes on. So it's like, it's so funny. It's just everyone training.
Well, look, Rucker, I honestly, to stay sane and to stay positive, I always say as long as we can take away, and I used to say this in a race situation as well, as long as you can take just one positive thing away from a shitty experience, and let's face it, this coronavirus is horrible for so many reasons. As long as we can take one positive away, and if that positive is that, our country becomes a fitter and healthier country as a whole, well, then it's a good thing. And I think for all of us to stay sane, we need to have something positive to look at coming out of all of this.
Yeah, I think I was actually thinking about this positives yesterday, and I because my motto is that everything bad is good for something, I found quite a few things what's good. Like, it's good for the nature. Yep. It's good for some couples. I talked to friends who, you know, both are really busy working and they basically meet each other just on the weekend.
Wow.
And now they have time to do stuff together, you know, and they enjoy the life again. And the other thing is, after the lockdown, everyone will appreciate little things like going to the park or playgrounds or catching up with friends. We will appreciate all the races, the briefings, totally, you know, handshakes, everything.
Things and, that we took for granted, or that we even things that we might have thought were a waste of time or not even worth thinking about, or just our God-given right, which I'm sick of hearing that, because you know what? It's not our God-given right, and you're dead right. Yep. Now we are. Yep. Little things like going to the coffee shop and having a coffee, it's a big deal. And I totally agree with you there, and I think people have had to take a step, in some cases three or four steps backwards, and just really look at the simplicity of life.
Exactly. And I think it helped. Yeah, it helped so much. I think every single person slowed down. You have more time and you realize how important is your family, friends.
Yep.
You had time to do, you know, clean up your house. You found lots of things. You know, all these things, I think that's very positive as well.
It is.
And one more thing.
Yeah.
I think after this lockdown, every single parent will love teachers.
Yeah. Because they realize how hard it is.
Oh my God. Not, like, we have, you know, even our family, Brett's family, they have kids who already have to go to school, and they're like, oh my God, these teachers, they deserve a gold medal and they have so much patience. And well, yes,
exactly.
So yeah,
no, I agree. I know up here in Queensland, obviously with schools, it's supposed to only be children of essential workers, but schools are open, but not all the school children are back at school yet. And I think there are many parents out there just counting down the days to when it is properly open for all students to go back to school.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then the other thing is, once the plane will be flying, I'll be so happy to, like, I don't know, I used to look forward to flying, and then when I got older and with Ruby, I was not very a big fan of flying or traveling.
No.
And now I can't wait.
I know.
Can't wait to just to go and to visit my family in Europe, and you know, to be able to go to races and stuff like that.
It is funny. And, you know, I'm like you, obviously, I travel for a living as well, working events. And I must admit, January, February, March, I'm always keen as beans to get on that plane. Through the middle parts, you know, June, July, August, it's like, yeah, it's good, but I'm not really looking forward to the travel. Of course, I look forward once I'm at the race. And then by the end of the year, I just, even the sight of an aeroplane makes me sick. But I've said to Justin, I will never, ever think like that again. Even when I hear a plane in the sky, we went for a ride today and I actually heard a plane in the sky, I'm like, oh, is that a plane? Because I'm so used to not hearing them at the moment. So it is quite strange. It really is.
It is. Yeah.
Now, speaking about your family and going overseas, which of course you cannot do right now, Rads, is this the first time ever that there is a high possibility that you will not see your mum and your sister, so your family, in an entire year?
I don't, that would be definitely the first time, yeah, because we would always come for the European summer there,
or
back few years ago, at least for Christmas time or something like that. But this year, we really can't plan. I just talked to them yesterday, and it's quite sad because we kind of are lying to each other, saying it will be soon, but we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
And that must it must be really hard on your mum too. Obviously, not just because she misses you, her daughter, but because her grandchild, Ruby, you know, she's missing out on precious time to see Ruby grow up. And this is in an age where they are learning new things all the time. And I know when I next see Ruby, she's going to have changed so much from the last time I saw her. because that's what happens at that age. They just change so quickly. So it must be really tough on your mum as well.
It is. And she's really scared that I will stop talking to her in Czech and then she won't be able to understand. But every time we do a Skype call, I have to assure you, look, talk to her and she will understand. She understands Czech, but she just replies in English now because she realizes that talking to someone here in Czech doesn't really help.
It doesn't really help her. She doesn't get too far with it.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. So do you make sure that you do talk quite a bit of Czech to Ruby on a daily basis? Or
When I'm on my own with her, then I talk to her in Czech and it's amazing. Yeah, she still understands everything, but she replies to me in English, which is so funny.
Yeah, okay. I still think it's amazing how they can pick it up so quickly. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And now she knows sometimes if I can't recollect the word in English, she knows it. And then looks at me like, oh, God, Mom, that's this or whatever.
It's hilarious.
So funny.
Oh, that's funny. She's a character, all right. I'll still never forget that time when we were in a race in the Philippines with Carol and Stefan's little boy and Ruby chasing
Xander.
Xander. And Ruby chasing Xander around and round and round, and Xander didn't know what was going on and he was scared. It was hilarious.
She's such a boss. She's just, 10 days or a week younger than Xander. And she's such a boss. And Caroline just recently told me that Xander is still scared of Ruby.
Actually, it'll be really interesting to see when they next meet up again, how Xander, whether he will remember. Oh, that's that crazy little girl that was chasing me around the room.
No, he wouldn't remember. But they are old enough to go for a bike ride together on a pre-bike or something.
They are too. No, look, I keep in contact with Caroline fairly regularly as well. And I know down in Port Macquarie, and it's been, tough for them as well. She's just basically looking after Xander 24/7 now as well and doing what she can. We often talk just to catch up, and it's crazy because she actually came up and stayed with Justin and I here and we got to see them. This is before it all shut down. And when it happened, I just took it for granted. I said, you come up, stay for the weekend, whatever. It's no big deal. And now I think about it, I'm like, why didn't she stay for longer? And none of us could know that was going to be one of the last times. That, of course, with no one being able to travel more than 50 kilometres.
It's quite crazy.
It's unreal.
I still don't even think about it. No. Well, before Easter, we were like, we're going to definitely come to Easter to Wagga to celebrate with Brad's family. Yep. It's like a huge family. I just mentioned, like, what if the borders, will be closed? Mm. It's like, no way, it never happened. And then it happened.
It happened.
And we had actually a Zoom call with the whole family because that was the only thing we could do.
I tell you, thank God for Zoom. What would we have done? I think every single person I know, even my mum is now doing Zoom yoga. But I wouldn't have survived. I've got my Zoom F45 classes that I do at least 4 times a week and then Zoom calls with friends. It's crazy. That honestly, if we could have known what was going to happen, to get shares in Zoom or in Netflix would have been the two best business decisions ever, I think.
That's right. Yeah, I've heard that Zoom is like now really like the person who has Zoom is so rich now because it's just like every single one downloaded it. And
it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But talking about Brad's family down in Wagga. Obviously, I know you've spent quite a bit of time with Brad and his extended family down in Wagga, which is great because then obviously with training, it becomes a bit easier because, if you've got Brad out on a session, you can always leave Ruby with a grandparent. But right now, you guys are based on the Gold Coast and it really just is you, Brad and Ruby. So what's the dynamic like there? How does that work when, you want Brad to be out on sessions with you to see how you're going, but someone's got to look after Ruby as well?
That's why to have family around us is such a huge help. And when we get to go to Wagga or to Europe with my mom, we do the most of it so we can do some sessions together. And it's for us like Christmas.
Yes, I bet.
So now it's myself on the training alone or Brad on his own. But sometimes, when I ride in the garage, Of course. Ruby's there drawing something on a board and Brad is fixing something, so we are together, all together. Or we can, one of us is riding a commuting bike with a baby seat and the other is running.
Oh,
so
okay.
Sometimes we can do that. And now we were doing, for example, when I was doing open water, Brad comes with Ruby to feed the fish when I swim. And so at least we do something
together,
a little bit together.
Yeah, and they're there. Oh, that's perfect. So you've got it fairly well worked out, which is fantastic, because I honestly, you know what, I don't have kids and I find it hard just to organize myself of a morning. So I always look at in awe at all the parents out there that are able to get out there and get training done and do it all with no help from family or from nannies. And you don't have a nanny, as you said, it's just you. And Rads, that brings me to another, because I love when we travel together to races, because I see you with Ruby, with the bike, with the stroller, with all your luggage. You don't ask for any help. You don't need help. You are a one woman show. And you seem to be able to manage it so beautifully. I have a hard time just getting my luggage to the airport on my own, yet you've got all these other things going on. And I remember when you first did it, when I first saw you travel with Ruby to a race on your own and you had no help, you had no one with you. And I just thought, oh, Radka's going to have a terrible race this weekend. How can she possibly be in shape or recovered just from the travel alone? Yet I think that first race you won, and you took it all in your stride. And I know we dropped Ruby off that morning at the people that were going to be taking care of Ruby, the nanny.
Honestly,
I still think about it now and I shake my head, because it was truly phenomenal. And I think you've got the right attitude. Yep.
Yeah. I think that was the first year with Ruby, because she was a really little baby who didn't move and didn't run away.
True. That's true.
So that made it way, way easier. I mean, I was really lucky. She was a healthy baby, happy baby. So it was manageable. But when I think about it now, I think maybe I was crazy to do it on my own.
Well, we all thought you were, but that's okay.
But I have to say that basically the race felt like a holiday, because you did all the hard work around, you know, organizing everything, the travel, the packing, the breastfeeding, the expressing and everything. When the race was, you had 4 hours for yourself without
any
stress.
Your time on your own, that's right. It was like a spa day. Fantastic.
So that was 2018 and it was possible. But in 2019, I went to every single race with Brad. Except of Geelong in February, where Brad's parents came to help me. It wouldn't be possible without help. Because, you know, the one plus year old, they want to already run around and do things and they don't sleep that much.
No.
So it's really impossible to do it, as one person, unless you are not a good mom, I think.
Yeah,
you need, you know, they need some fun time too. So
to let loose. And I mean, you are definitely lucky. Ruby's a beautiful, beautiful young girl. And I'm no expert, but she's not a difficult child. But yeah, she is at a stage now where she needs to get, where she is moving around, and it would be impossible for you to do it on your own right now. So thankfully you have Brad, which is great. And we love seeing Brad at the races anyway. So it's a bonus for us all.
Yeah, it's great. And then it's the best is when I can finish and see them there waiting at the finish line, both, when I see both happy, then it's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes Ruby is not polite enough and she sleeps during my run,
She's like, Mum, you're taking too long. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, where are you? I'm going to sleep.
Oh, I love it. And honestly, talking about racing, and you've mentioned it before, you definitely are a racer as opposed to a trainer. Now, that's not to say that you don't train well, because we know you do. You're as tough as nails. And what I've always loved about you is that if you have a training session to do, then that's what you do. You don't try and get out of it. You don't try and change it. If you've got a session that's set out, even if you look at it and go, oh, this is going to really hurt today, you get on with business, because you know that's what you need to do. And the reason Brad's written that session is because that's the session that's going to make you a better athlete. And I think you have the same attitude when you race, because I don't think I've ever seen you enter a race and only give 60%. It's always, I'm here to race, I'm here to do the best I can do, and you do it a lot. You race more than any other athlete I know, and your consistency is amazing. So is there anything you can put that down to? Do you think it is just your mental tenacity here?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, when I race, I really want to do the best. It used to be racing just for myself, but since Ruby was born, I feel like a responsibility, and you know, my child is there with me. I take her, you know, for a long, long flight, and I just don't want to travel somewhere that far and then not give it 100%. So I had some races in the last 2 years where I was like thinking, oh my God, that's going to be a really bad race. I shouldn't have done this one. But then I just pushed through it, and it always turned out to, you know, the race is long enough to change. The situation can change. So every time I was like, oh, I'm so happy I fought through this. And then it feels even better that you didn't give up.
No.
So.
And I must admit, I could probably, since I've known you since those early 2000s, I could probably count on one hand the races where you may have finished somewhere where you weren't particularly happy with. But for the majority of the races, Rads, you are either on the podium or in number one spot, which is crazy to think.
It's been really good, and I'm definitely not complaining. But it's hard work, and I think the motherhood makes you tougher, or makes you realize, maybe the whole pregnancy makes you realize if you really still want to go back and race. So when I was pregnant, I knew I want to get back because I loved it and I missed it.
A lot.
So
yeah.
So then when you're getting back, it's tough, and some days you don't sleep, and if you wouldn't love the sport, it would be so easy to just say, oh, I can't.
Forget
because
it.
But then because you love it, you make everything possible to be able to at least go for an easy jog, and usually it, actually the body is miracle. It's magic. It always somehow turns usually around that you can actually do a session or something.
And do you find now, Rads, since you've given birth, that your injury, you're getting less injuries than you used to? I mean, I don't recall you getting injured a lot, but I certainly know that you have had injuries in the past. But I'm trying to think of any injuries you've had since giving birth to Ruby, and that's why I think you've been so consistent, because apart from this latest foot and mouth, which we know why that happened, you've been consistently fit, healthy, and uninjured. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's true. I haven't been sick or injured since I had Ruby. I was not injured too many times.
No.
But I don't know, it's maybe the regime you have to hold with the baby, like, you know, you eat kind of correctly because you want to be an example to the baby. And things like that, but also smart training. Like, we do a lot with Brad. Like, we're trying to have a good balance of recovery and of hard sessions and easy sessions and the life and work balance, how you say it?
Work and life balance.
And I think with the having a child or having a family, it does a lot, because I think, I don't even know, but my best recovery days are when I'm actually going. Well, I have to go outside with Ruby and play with her, and that's and she makes me, you know, to chase her on the beach, or even she makes me to climb up the slide, go with her, and it's almost like a yoga thing.
Recovery, I love it.
We built her little house here at home out of my wheel boxes, and I thought it's going to be for her, but she invites me, of course, to visit her.
I like that, love it.
For coffee. So you're going to squeeze in, and then she wants to close the door, and you have your legs there, and you have to put them, you know,
you have to cross them. So you're getting a little bit of a good stretch class in at the same time.
That's right.
I love it. And I suppose you don't have time. I know as athletes, we're always wanting to do more rather than less. Whereas I think now with a child, you know, less is more. And I think that's actually a good thing when it's forced on you.
And there's no time to overthink. Like you said, I do whatever Brad gives me for session, and there's no time to sit around and look at the program saying,
try and change it. Yeah. Times. Exactly.
No. You have this time, you go out and don't even think, just do it.
Just
and
get come it back. Done. Yeah. No, you've hit the nail on the head. I totally agree. And you know, I look at so many of our mothers around the world, like Meredith Kessler, Beth McKenzie, even Michelle Vesterby now, Rinnie, and you're all the same. It's quite interesting to see all women that I've just mentioned are all still racing so well, and you all have young kids. And you, every time I see you, you just look like absolute powerhouses, fit, healthy. I mean, you're like you're like the pin-up women of new mums. I love it.
Yeah, you mentioned Meredith. Now we met in Challenge Wanaka, and it was so good to see her and you know, Meg and just kind of talk like the mum athletes.
Yes.
So different talk than with the normal
athletes. Not, yeah, not the non-mum athletes. Non-mum.
It, like we exchanged all the experience, what we do and what we not to do, and it's great, and it's funny that, you know, at some briefings or pre-race interviews, there's sometimes more mums than non-mums.
No, absolutely. And I love it. It's true.
It's great.
And still racing with, you know, against and with the best in the world, and we've got it. Obviously, it's Mother's Day coming up. Soon. I know it's Mother's Day here in Australia. I'm assuming it's Mother's Day everywhere else, but I never get that right. I know it changes. I'm not sure if it's Mother's Day in Europe, but
I think they have it as well.
Yeah, I think Europe does. I think maybe America is the only place that might be the US that might be a little different. But obviously, we want to celebrate Mother's Day with Challenge Family. And I was just going through thinking, oh well, I might be able to think of one or two. And I started writing down the list. I'm like, oh my God, these are all amongst the best athletes in the world. It's ridiculous. So, yeah,
it's very amazing. Cool. It's amazing. Yeah.
It is. Now,
and I'm really.
Sorry, no, what was that?
Yeah, I'm really happy to see that, you know, people realize that to be a mom doesn't mean you are done.
No, that's right. That's right. It doesn't mean your life's
so
over.
Important.
Or that your life has to that your life has to drastically change. And that you can still do what you need to do and do it well.
Yeah, you have to be more flexible, and there has to be definitely some sacrifices. Don't forget about movie days and stuff like that, but you still can be a good athlete.
But don't you feel that those, so you just mentioned then, you know, you have to be more flexible and there has to be sacrifice. For an athlete at an elite, not even just at an elite level, of any level, particularly when it comes to long course racing, don't you think they are two perfect attributes to have? And if you can perfect those, I just think it's going to make you a better athlete anyway. I think it works in your favor.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, with my sponsor, we had a Zoom call with a psychologist. And he said actually that there was a research, and the best athletes on the top, I don't know from which category or whatever, where the athletes who had really tough life in like childhood or like some obstacles to go through. Through. And then I was thinking later on, and I'm like, and I think that fits for mums too.
Yes.
Because it's quite hard to do all the training and the normal life and taking care of the family. Then that it makes you a good athlete in the race.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is so difficult, then later the race is kind of easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but if you know what I mean.
And I just think you're able to deal with not just setback, but with things going maybe not the way you want them to go. For example, if you put Ruby down for a nap, I know when we were working out what would be the best time to do this interview, you said, well, Ruby normally sleeps between this time and this time, so let's do it then. But you know as well as I do that it could have come to today and for some reason Ruby didn't want to sleep at this time. And so you have to be constantly adapting to these sorts of changes. And in a race situation over full distance, that's what you're doing all day, is constantly adapting and changing. So
yeah, that's right. And, well, the whole phone Zoom call with the psychologist was about us athlete now with the COVID-19 situation, that if we survive this, it will make everyone a stronger athlete.
Yes, exactly.
Because again, you have to adapt, you have to be flexible with your training. If you're in lockdown, you have to just, you know, use whatever
you've got with you,
milk boxes for your gym, and, and you know, just things like that. So
it was like earlier when we were talking, make you stronger, and that's what we're talking about with Pablo de Pina, obviously a Spanish athlete who's doing it. You know, we know that the Spanish athletes are doing it tougher than nearly every other athlete in the world, bar probably Italy. They've had the strongest lockdown, and in fact they've had a proper lockdown, let's be honest. And someone like Pablo that lives in an apartment who has not been allowed outside for anything other than essential activities such as shopping, every single bit of his training has been done in the confines of his apartment. I can't even imagine. And I think it was the 45 days straight that he's had to do that. And you can see that it's starting to get him down a little bit now, but I just feel like he is going to be a force to be reckoned with once he's allowed back out. You know, because he's going to be able to deal with any sort of crap that comes his way. Let's be honest.
Exactly. Yeah. It's true. It will make him strong. And yeah, I just saw an email with him and the Challenge Family what we had, and I'm just amazed that he's still able
he's
to
still sane.
Write an email.
I know. I said the same.
It's horrible.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Now, of course. Talking about Challenge Family, you are recently signed on as an official professional ambassador for Challenge Family. Tell us a little bit more about that. You've done quite a few challenge races in during your career. Excuse me, my voice is going. But tell us a little bit about your Challenge Family ambassadorship role.
So I was really excited when this ambassadorship role was offered to me beginning of the year, because I've done so many challenge races that I could, you know, talk at another Belinda Coffee meeting. But like, I think last year, 2019, I have specially focused doing challenge races because there was a challenge bonus.
That's right, the world bonus, yep.
Yeah, world bonus. And it worked out perfectly, and loved every single race. And it was a huge bonus at the end of the year for it as well.
Of course, you won it. Let's get that out there straight away. You won the World Challenge Family World Bonus last year, which was awesome for us to see.
Yeah, and I love many of the challenge races, but one particular one is Challenge Chamorin, the championship, and it's also mainly because this is a special time of the year where I fly to Europe, see my family, and race in a neighbor country. So I'm from Czech Republic, and the race is in Slovakia. So it's just a car drive, and sometimes a long drive because the highways are not that good. But it's basically almost a home race because we speak the same language. And I had really great memories for this race. I've raced it 3 times, and I couldn't wait to get there again this year. But it's a different story. That race is just so well organized, and it has the best atmosphere. So, yeah, I'm pretty proud of this one.
Yeah. Oh, look, I've been to that race once now, and it truly is the venue itself is like no other venue. Pretty spectacular. And yeah, of course, it was supposed to be at the end of May this year. It has been postponed for now, to later in the year, but It's with all races this year, even the ones that have been postponed, it's a little bit of like watch this space, so to speak.
Yeah, up in the air. Yeah. But yeah, it's tough for everyone, for the race organizers, and I just hope everyone can survive this year, and then next year will be everyone back
to normal.
Back all the races back to normal. Yeah.
Me too. I do too. And look, I'd love nothing more than for us to at least try and sneak in a couple of great events at the end of the year. So even if we're talking November, December, of course, it's impossible. And I know there's been a fair bit of talk lately. And I wanted to talk to you about this, Radka. We just had the announcement, obviously, on Tuesday this week of the Challenge Daytona / PTO World Champs in Daytona, Florida, in December. And there's a little bit of controversy because obviously some people have the attitude of, well, why would you why would you possibly want to launch a race of that magnitude in such a climate? And the way there are others, and I think majority of the professional athletes are thinking, oh my gosh, this is something I can really focus on. It's not till December. Yeah. Surely if there's any chance of the world working itself out with this coronavirus, then it will be then, and maybe, just maybe. And I always think, okay, yeah, maybe it wasn't perfect timing. There's no doubt. But what is perfect timing in this situation? Do we just say, forget it, just let's forget 2020 ever happened and we'll just move forward to 2021? Well, that's quite easy for a lot of athletes to say that aren't depending on it, that their bread and butter, that their livelihood's not depending on making money. But for many of our pro athletes, as you know, prize money is 80%. Sometimes for some athletes, it's 100% of their financial income. So if we can try and give them just one race that they can at least look to and focus on, then I say give it to them. So I applaud Challenge Daytona and PTO, and I know you've got some great things to say about the PTO. You've already received some help this year being a PTO member, is that correct?
Yes, definitely. I have nothing bad to say about this idea, and I'm really excited that there is the professional triathlon organization, because this is, I think, the best what we could ask for. And you know, this, like you said, there's no good timing to announce anything in this time, because people losing jobs and people trying to just survive this thing. But to have something to look forward to, this is actually something what can help people who are in lockdown, like Pablo, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
To focus on and say, okay, this is what I'm focusing on, and that's going to get me through the tough time. You know, there's no racing, so there's no income for us athletes. But also, even if we have sponsors, the sponsors are sponsoring us because we are racing.
Exactly.
And if we don't race, it's also tough for them. They don't have any promotion. And
no.
The only way we can promote them is if, for example, Challenge Daytona and PTO are putting up such a huge race, which it's going to have amazing coverage and the best athletes in the world. And then that can save all of us,
I
think.
That's right, especially with sponsors. And, of course, a lot of sponsors are doing it tough themselves, and they've been forced to also, I know quite a few pro athletes, and this is something that a lot of our age group athletes don't realise, that a lot of pro athletes, their contracts have had to be split, have been cut by 50%, up to 50% in some cases. You know, because I've spoken to a few of my friends who've said, oh, well, it shouldn't really matter if some pro athletes, if they can't race, because aren't they making most of their money from sponsors? Well, yes, you know, a lot of our top athletes are making majority of their income from sponsors. But what you don't realise is a lot of these sponsors now can't afford to pay their athletes in this climate. So I know some have taken cuts of up to 50%. Some have taken full cuts. So it trickles down.
I have the same experience, I have to say. I won't name which sponsor, but I had a call actually yesterday, and it's tough for everyone. And I love my sponsor, and I will support to do whatever they need to do.
Yeah.
And I just believe the next year will be fine again. But exactly, that's the thing. We need to race. And I was actually saying that we realized that, okay, triathlon is a individual sport, but without all the support everywhere through the whole world, there's no sport.
No.
There's no triathlon.
That's right.
So like you think you are a athlete, and you don't need anyone, but you need everyone.
You need everyone.
You need
I agree.
People who produce parts. You need people who send you stuff. You need people who, you know, make the races. You
happen.
Need,
yeah.
All that.
Oh yeah.
So it's
definitely a team
thing.
Effort.
So yeah, a team effort, and you know, everywhere in the news is all in this together. And it sounds like a cliche, but
it's
if you
true.
Think,
I know.
It's so
I know
true.
It is. It
it's
really
so true.
Is.
So, yeah.
And look, even with me, and obviously I'm in the same boat as you, but from a different perspective, in that, you know, I live for events and I love events, and I make a good chunk of my income from events as well. So I understand how you feel, but I think the biggest thing for me and what I've realized the most is just how much I love going to events and working events, because I get to see all you guys, and it's just... it just feels so strange for me to be already into May, and I was lucky enough to attend a couple of events. I got to go to Challenge Wanaka and I got to go to Mooloolaba. So mm-hmm. I got my little fix there, and I got to catch up with a lot of athletes. But yeah, it's just, that's the thing I'm missing the most. And yesterday, Beth, when I asked you guys for a photo of you at the finish line with Ruby, and also with her, with Marlo and Wynn, and she sent through that photo of you and I and her enjoying a glass of wine at the end of a race. Oh, and it almost made me start to cry, because I just thought, this is what I miss the most, traveling the world and getting to catch up with some of the most precious people. And we're so lucky that in our sport of triathlon, not just the professionals, but the age group athletes as well, are just such genuinely good people on a whole.
I also miss that. I love racing, but the whole atmosphere before and after the race is just, it's just something we live for, I guess. Yeah. And I actually missed the glass of wine with you.
Seems to be all I talk about these days is my wine drinking. So that'll be one thing that when this situation has come to an end and we go back to whatever normal life will be post-corona, I'm gonna have to back off the wines, because it's starting to take over my life just a touch.
It's funny you talk about it, because now every night Netflix and a glass of wine.
It's become the new norm, exactly, right?
It's like, next day survive, tick.
Yes, it's true. I do it every night. I just spoke to a friend before, and she was so proud of herself, because she said, we just had a week detox from wine and sugar. And I said, wow, week. It felt like she was saying a whole 6 months. And I said, wow, a week? I said, I think I've done well, and I've had one night off sugar and wine. So I'm going to have to reevaluate my limits. I'm going to have to try and go for at least 7 days. It could kill me, but we'll see. It's good to set new goals as we.
Yeah. You know, it got that far that I came from a bike ride, and Ruby goes to the fridge, opens it, and puts out a beer glass and says, "Mummy," and takes the other daddy. I'm like, oh my God, I think we have to change something.
This is what I need. I need a child to do this for me. I don't have one. So there's no self-control around here. That is my problem, Radka.
No, but that's the problem. That's the opposite. She's offering to.
So she's making it sound like it's okay.
Ruby, it's not even lunchtime. Please put it back. She was so cute. It's like she was offering us a cupcake, you know, and I'm like, oh, no, that's not good.
No, it's like, oh, are we that bad? Where's she? Because we know kids only get this from somewhere. So it's like,
yeah,
where's she getting this from? This is not us, is it?
And I was joking, because I was like, she used to play with swim goggles and bike shoes, and now look, she's giving us
wine glasses and then beer glasses. funny. And I did see, I did see a video the other day of little Rubes. Gorgeous little thing that Brad has actually taught her to make a little espresso. I like that. Now that I'm
She's good. She's offering me the coffee, even, you know, when I'm making dinner. She's like, coffee time, mummy.
Well, we just need to work on that. There are just finer points we can work on when the coffee's needed. But you know, if we can teach her to get you one before that first session in the morning, that's perfect.
Yeah, no, but I think she knows when I need it. Like, she looks at me.
She looks at you. Can I see look when
like
you
I'm going to break down. She's like, coffee time?
Oh, I love it. No, that's hilarious.
She actually did that on a flight back from a race, and I was like, I was so tired, and she was a little bit, you know, jumping all over me, and she, I think she recognized that I'm just
getting to the end of your tether. Yeah.
And then she's like, coffee time, and gave me that card to choose what to get. And I'm like, actually, you know what? Yes. I get coffee and biscuits.
Yes,
thanks.
Thank you. It's exactly what I need, Rubes. Exactly what I need right now.
But it
now.
Was actually helped, and then it was, so everything was fine.
Oh. Now, listen, the world is a big fat unknown right now. We're all hopeful that we will get a few races at the end of the year. We're all hopeful, firstly, that our domestic borders will open, and then obviously later, particularly for Australia and New Zealand, that our international borders will open. We know that that's going to be the very last thing to open. Yeah. That's no surprise. I know our Prime Minister's been telling us now all the time that will be the last thing to open. However, let's just stay positive. If we can get some races in at the end of the year, obviously our domestic races will be the ones. We've got Challenge Shepparton scheduled for October. We've got the big one up here in Noosa, Noosa Triathlon, scheduled here for the beginning of November. Both those events are still down to go mm-hmm. ahead. Would they be two events that you would be keen to obviously do?
Oh, yeah. 100%, and I think it would be 100% for the whole Australia.
Yeah, yes, I do too.
It's like everyone is like shaking for it.
Yeah. Look, I agree, and I think there's talk that the New Zealand Australia borders will be open before other international borders, which makes perfect sense. Obviously,
that would be great. Yeah.
And I was actually thinking, but even if we can only have these races as a little Oceania domestic competition. Yeah. I'm counting up all the gun athletes we've got here in Australia and also in New Zealand, and it's still not going to be easy, is it?
No, there's quite a lot of strong athletes, Australia and New Zealand, so it wouldn't be boring, that's for sure.
There'll still be some good racing. And look, I was thinking about it, and at the end of the day, that may be exactly what happens, that we're just going to have to, if we are able to put races on or events on at the end of the year, then they may just be specifically for that region. For example, you know, North America has events in North America, just for North America, the same within Europe, and obviously the same within Oceania. So as much as I love traveling and going to races and having the best of the best at a race, that concept could still work, and it could still be insanely competitive racing, yeah?
Yeah, for sure, because no, every single athlete would taper for these races at home. And then it makes a strong competition, even when it's just a race at home. I shouldn't say just it,
I know.
It would be strong.
Absolutely.
When I just think of Sarah Crowley, you know, Ellie Salthouse or the Kiwi girls.
Yeah, Teresa Adams. Hannah.
Yeah.
So. It's pretty crazy. And then the men as well. It could get very interesting. And we could have a really cool trans-Tasman rivalry here with between New Zealand and Australia, and I think it could be very cool. And as I said, I think the professional athletes will just be so appreciative if we can have any sort
everything.
Of race of any description. I don't think they're going to be bitching about who can or can't attend, as long as we can have something.
Yeah, I think even if you would organize a race at your backyard, everyone would come. It's like,
well, I promise free beer and well wine afterwards, so you know.
Oh yeah, I'm in.
Not till after the race, of course, but I like your thinking. But yeah, look, there is still, I think everyone needs to stay positive, and everyone needs to have something that they can look at. And at the end of the day, you know, the doom and gloom, yes, maybe there won't be anything at the end of the year, and we can all say that, but I just think, you know, I get shitty when I see people say, oh, this is ridiculous, why did they even bother announcing such and such a race, or why did they even bother rescheduling, it's not going to happen. Well, yeah, maybe it isn't going to happen, but settle down. Let's just stay in the here and now. And if this is something that can get an athlete through the next 2 or 3 months, then what is the problem?
Exactly.
And then we deal with the next hurdle when it's there.
Yeah, but it's also, you know, it's not just for us athletes, but also for the race organizers.
Exactly.
That's their job.
Exactly.
It's like if we would be like, why this bookshop wants to be open? It's the same thing.
Exactly.
Like,
no.
It's...
Everyone's just trying to survive, and everyone's just trying to make it through this year any way they can. And I totally agree with you. So I just don't – and I know, I mean, obviously working on the event side, both teams – on both sides, I know the athletes from that side and also the event organisers, everyone wants the best outcome.
Exactly.
Of course they want the safest outcome, and no one's going to put a race on if they deem it not to be safe. I know – when Mooloolaba was on, and that was one of the last races, I still remember that weekend. It was the 14th and 15th of March. And it was the very last race to go ahead here in Australia. And I know there was a little bit of controversy about it going ahead, but, you know, it was a fantastic event. And I think there was one positive case, and we don't even know if it was even linked to the event. One athlete tested positive, but, you know, for all we know, that person already had it before they came, but no one else ended up with it. I, for one, and I think if you asked any athlete, is so glad that that event went ahead. I know you didn't have a particularly great experience. I know you tried to, I mean, I don't think you realized just how bad that foot and mouth was, but you were there and you could see that everyone was still pretty happy to be racing.
Oh, everyone loved it. Yeah. Everyone loved it. And it was a beautiful day. And I mean, yeah, I've got that email as well, that there was a positive case, but I think nothing happened.
No, there was no more.
So that was good, and it was great for some of the ITU athletes to have still a really good race.
Exactly.
And then quickly rush back home before the borders closed.
I know. Oh, it was crazy. I remember talking to Els Visser from the Netherlands, because she's obviously over here training with Cam Watts with the Hills District squad. And she pulled out of the race, and I remember saying to her, "Oh, are you sick? Are you okay?" She goes, "No, no, I have to get to Brisbane and get on a plane." And I said, "What?"
Yeah.
And she goes, "My visa's about to run out, and I've been told they're closing the borders. I need to go to New Zealand and get my visa renewed." And I'm like, "Oh, this is crazy." I get goosebumps just thinking about it now, and I just think, how is she going to do it? And anyway, the story that she told me, because, of course, I messaged her as soon as she got back. I said, "How did you go?" And she goes, "Oh," she goes, "she got to New Zealand. She's supposed to stay the night. But then she was told that Australia was closing all its international borders the next day. So they had to put her on a plane that night. So she basically flew straight over, straight back, just made it back in." And I just thought that was just, it's one of the most insane stories I've ever heard. But typical Elle, she took it all in a stride. She's an incredible athlete, incredible young woman. And I'm sure at the end of the day, if she had have explained her situation to immigration, they could have done something for her. But it was we were also in such unknown territory. No one knew what was going to happen.
No one knew. And we were almost laughing about it.
I know.
Like,
we were.
Borders closing? Oh, really? But crazy. I know, I talked to Andrea Hewitt.
Yeah.
She was at the race.
Of
and
course,
she's like,
yeah.
"Oh, I'm flying home now. I'm rebooking flights because the next day the borders are closed and all that." And there was more athletes, like everyone just trying to get
back
home.
And then, you know, we had all those athletes from the UK and also from the rest of Europe trying to get home. Yeah. It was just, I think about it now, and like you said, I don't think any of us fully grasped the situation at hand, because we've never had to. And I look back at it now, I actually sat down about 2 weeks ago and went over, and I just thought that weekend was crazy. We were all in denial, not in denial, but we just didn't realise. And now I look back and I think those athletes must have just been, what a horrible thing to have to do such a high-end race and such a fast, normally they would stay 1 or 2 days, they might even stay a week,
come up to
Noosa, but straight back on an airplane, straight back home, and then straight into lockdown. Ugh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, so many ITU athletes, they have like the whole year or season pre-planned, like here and this and training camp in between, and suddenly they're like, "I don't know where I should go." Like,
no, that's right.
This is like, and that was still where the Olympic Games were still
meant to be going ahead. That's right.
So no one was like,
strange.
I
definitely did not think that I would be going through such a situation in my lifetime. That's for sure. But
and I hope no one will again.
No, I do
go
too.
Through this.
I do too, because as much as I think, like you said, we'll all come out the other side
stronger,
more sympathetic to a lot of issues in the world, which I think would be the greatest thing. But yeah, I certainly don't wish it on anyone. That's for sure. I don't wish it on our future generations. I hope that we can all learn from this and that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, yeah.
But Rads, finishing up now, because I know I've already kept you for at least, I think we've been over an hour and a half, because I, of course, had a little chat to you before we officially started, as we always do, because I love to have a little catch up with you. Lastly, obviously, I hope I get to see you at an event somewhere around the world or within Australia this year. I hope so. I especially hope that we get to see you and Brad up here in Noosa, because obviously you did live up here for quite some time and we still feel like we need you up here. I know the girls miss you greatly.
I need you, girls.
We talk about you a lot. And lastly, we definitely need to make sure that next time we catch up that there is dinner and red wine involved post-race.
Oh, yes, please. I think Ruby can serve it to us by then.
Actually, you know what? By the time we actually get to this next event, I think Ruby will be old enough to be able to serve us a little drop of wine. I like that idea.
Yeah. Hopefully not old enough to drink with us.
No, definitely not that. We'll leave that for a few more years yet. Well, listen, Rads, thank you for your time as always. It's an absolute pleasure. You are one of my absolute favourite professional athletes on the circuit. You're just an absolute sweetheart that happens to be exceptionally good at what she does. So you know, it's a win-win when we get to talk to you. So thank you. And thank you for everything that you do for Challenge Family. It's an honor having you as a Challenge Family Ambassador.
Thank you, Belinda, so much. And it was great to catch up with you. And I hope you give me another call soon.
Oh, absolutely. This time, I'll wait till a little later, and then, you know, we can have a little chat over a sneaky glass of red.
Yes, that's right.
Thanks All right. so much, Rex.
Have a good day.
You too. I'll speak to you again soon. Bye,
yeah. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Coffee Calls with Belinda. I really hope you enjoyed listening. If you'd like to continue listening and stay updated on our latest podcasts, then please subscribe. It would also be great if you could rate our podcast and leave us a review. If you have any specific questions you'd like me to ask the athletes, then please send through to the following email address, podcast@challenge-family.com. The making of these podcasts would not be possible without the wonderful help of our great partners, Powerbar, Otso, Zone 3, Lubos Bilic at LB Training, Sport No Limit Group, and VeloSoc. But for now, thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back soon for another coffee.